Easter is a day of celebration that sets Christianity apart from all other religions. On Easter, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and the Savior of the world. Now, in all of history, there have been many great people. There have been many great teachers, many great prophets, many great leaders. When we think of all the great people in history, the list is endless. Men have conquered the world. They've sailed across oceans. They've led nations to victory. They've helped to bring peace to the world. They've climbed mountains. They've gone to the moon. They've won world championships, coached teams to victory, driven cars and motorcycles to championships, and they've preached great sermons from which many, many people came to accept Christ as Savior. But you scan the list all you want, and one finds that every one of them have come to the same end, and that none of them has ever achieved by themselves the greatest victory of all, and that's victory over death. Now that should be enough to make anyone sit up and listen. When we hear that one man did overcome death, he was brutally beaten, he was hung out to dry on a Roman cross to rid the world of this prophet and this teacher so that the world wouldn't have to face the truth that this Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and that the world was sinful and needed to be saved. But just 3 days later, something happened that no other person or religion can claim. This Jesus of Nazareth rose from the dead. Talk about a great man. Talk about a great Messiah. Death is a scary thing for anyone that ever faces death. But Jesus tells his followers not to be afraid. He said to his followers when he met with them that he was going to prepare a place for his believers and that he would come back to get them. So what he promised is the same resurrection for all who believe in him and accept him as Lord and Savior. That was his promise. I'm going to a place that you can't come with me. But I'm coming back for you. Only the one who overcame death himself has that power to raise from death all who follow him, all his followers. Now, you may believe that he was dead. Many of the people in our world today believe he was dead. That's easy. All great people have died. But resurrected? Alive? It is true. And the proof comes from eyewitnesses who saw him. And the proof comes from the effects that he has on all who follow him still today. If Jesus didn't rise from the grave, there would have been no sightings and no effects on believers today. You see, the story of the resurrection is not just a story of a man who came back to life. It's a story of facts. The fact that he was not dead, he was seen. The fact that he had and can have an impact on our lives. The reason so many today don't believe in Jesus is because they won't accept the facts. And I can't understand why, because when one does look at all the facts, I ask why they wouldn't want the same thing in their life. Why they wouldn't want to have the influence of the Savior in their lives. I guess maybe it's just a pride issue. I get people say to me, "Oh, I wish I heard the Lord's voice like you did. How come I can never hear the Lord speaking to me? How come he never speaks to me?" He does. The reason we don't hear him is because we're not listening. It's because we're not in prayer, because we're not going to church, because we're not reading his word. It's in these places that he speaks to us. The more time we spend in his word, the more time we spend in prayer, the more time we're together in fellowship in the church, the more we hear his voice, because the message, the gospel that Jesus tells us about, the good news, is all the same. And we can start to believe it and understand it as we meet together, as we read the word, and as we pray. It's like a radio station. You got to turn it on, you got to tune in, and you got to turn it out. The resurrection story begins on the first day of the week. The women took spices to anoint the body of Jesus. They found the stone rolled away. The body of Jesus was gone. And heavenly messengers proclaimed that Jesus had risen, just as Jesus had told them. So they went back into Jerusalem to tell the other disciples. But the disciples didn't believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. I think Paul said later on in one of his letters, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who don't believe. But as they went back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples, Peter went and examined the tomb and found that Jesus was not there. Now Matthew, Mark, and John all mention that Jesus appeared to the women who had come to the tomb with the anointing spices. But Luke here goes directly to another scene that same day to show us proof that Jesus had been resurrected and to show us the effects that he can have on our lives. That same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles away from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. It was Jesus himself, and the two were kept from recognizing him because God wanted to be sure without a doubt that they knew it was Jesus. This was important for the witness to be authentic and credible. And we see the effect that the resurrected Christ has on the lives of people. He said to them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And as they stopped and stood still, their faces were downcast, they were depressed. One of them, named Cleopas, said to Jesus, "Are you the only guy in Jerusalem and don't know the things that have happened there in these last days?" Jesus says, "What things?" And they said about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed. In other words, he was a twofold great man. He was powerful before God and all the people. But the chief priests and the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. They said to Jesus, "But we had hoped that he was the one that was going to redeem Israel." And what's more, it's the third day, and since all this took place, 3 days now, he's dead. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, they didn't find his body now. Wow, we are really downcast. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. But then some of our companions went to the tomb and found that it was just as the women had said, but they didn't see Jesus. They found that the tomb was empty, but they didn't see Jesus. These two were sad. They had lost all hope of a brighter future. Verse 17 tells us their faces were downcast. Verse 21 says their hope was gone. Have you ever felt like that? Maybe you've had a friend die or a family member pass away, or your hope was gone because you lost a job, or maybe you had hoped to have many good golden years before this disease or ailment came into your life. Maybe your marriage seems hopeless and causes you to be downcast, or maybe you hoped your children would have turned out a little better than they did. You wonder how these two in our story could even walk. You've been there. You've been downcast. You've lost all hope. And you wonder how they could even walk because you're so depressed that you can't even get out of bed. Can you identify with these people? Let's take a look at the facts here. Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter glory?" Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. Jesus says we're foolish. We shouldn't feel like this. It's because we're slow to believe that Christ died and was resurrected and can have an effect on us. In fact, he said he had to die and be resurrected. Jesus told his disciples on the night of the Last Supper in the upper room, "I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I'm going away, because if I didn't go away, the Helper will not come to you." Speaking of the Holy Spirit. But he says, if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus had to die, not only for our sins, but also for the Holy Spirit to come and dwell inside all who believe. Now, let's remember, they still don't know that it's Jesus with them. And it's only when they do two things, examine the Scriptures and spend time with the Lord, that their lives are changed. Only when they examine the Scriptures and spend time with the Lord is their lives changed. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the Scriptures concerning himself. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted like he was going to go a little farther, and they said, no, come on, stay with us. It's nearly evening, the day's over, so he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, he gave thanks, broke it, began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning inside us when he talked with us on the road and opened the Scriptures for us? You know, that's the way it works. If we're truly searching, God is not going to turn his back on us. We open the Scriptures and we're searching for the truth. We're searching for the Lord. Our hearts are going to burn inside us. He's going to stir us to tell us he's alive. He's going to start a fire inside here. So they got up and they returned at once to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11 and those of them that were assembled together. And they said, it is true, the Lord's risen and has appeared to Simon. They said to these two. And then the two told them what happened on the way, how Jesus was recognized by them in the breaking of bread. You see, their eyes were opened. Oh yes, now I see the truth. Their hearts were burning inside them. They were given a new energy, and they returned to Jerusalem and told the others that Jesus was not dead, that he had come to them on the road. So here was Jesus just hours after the tomb was discovered open, changing the lives of his followers. These two were so hopeless, now had hope. And they wanted to tell their friends about the resurrected Jesus. Does that describe you? If you know the Lord, do you have so much hope that you want to tell others that he's living, can make a difference in their lives too? While they were still talking about this, there they were in this room talking about this, Jesus himself came and stood among them. He said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened. They were thinking they were seeing a ghost. But he said to them, why are you troubled and why do these doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. It's I. Touch me. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones like I do. Touch me. Boy, what an invitation. He's saying, why do you doubt? Come and see me. See for yourself. It's me. You see, they thought that they saw a ghost. This is the real thing. They touched him. They saw his hands. They still struggled with it. So he ate food with them. This was Jesus. They saw him. Eyewitnesses. They could not deny the facts in front of them. Their touch. They could not deny the facts. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. They still didn't believe. So he said, do you have anything to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish and he took it and he ate it in their presence. And he said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. This is what I told you. You're seeing it. You're experiencing it. Everything has to be fulfilled that's written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. And what did he do? He opened their minds so they could understand the Scriptures. You know, that's the work of the Holy Spirit today, giving us discernment. There are many things that are spiritually discerned. And those who don't have the Holy Spirit, unbelievers, can't understand. They can't figure it out. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. There are just some things that way. He opened their minds so they could understand. He said to them, this is what is written, the Christ will suffer, rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And he says, you are witnesses of these things. You are the witnesses. So he opened their minds to the truth about himself. And he says, now that you know it, now that you've seen it, you can testify to it because you are the witnesses. And he promised them that the Holy Spirit would be sent. He said, I'm going to send you what my Father's promised, but stay here until you've been clothed with that power from on high. And when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them, was taken up into heaven, and what did they do? They worshipped him. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. The effects of the risen Christ on these people was worship, joy, church attendance, and praise for God. Think about that. So how about us downcast people who've lost hope? We who just can't seem to understand why life is like it is. Let me offer you a risen Christ this morning. A man greater than you or any other great person who ever walked the face of the earth. If Jesus overcame death, he can overcome anything whatsoever in your life. But first, you have to be willing to let him in. You have to believe he can do it. And I ask you today, why are you troubled? Why do you doubt that Jesus can do anything for you? Maybe you're one of those self-made people. I'm a self-made person. What I have is because of my own work, because of the sweat of my brow. It's mine. Maybe you're full of pride. Maybe you're just scared. I don't know what this is going to do to my life. This is going to change everything. I'm going to have to get up on Sunday morning, and that's my only day off, and I'm going to have to go to church. Jesus can have the same effect on your life too. But first you have to believe the truth. He's alive. The scriptures and the prophets told about Jesus hundreds of years ago. And it all came true. He said, you're my witnesses. The witnesses can tell you that. But if they could speak to you today, they would probably be more excited to tell you about the effect that Jesus can have on your life and how he can turn hopelessness into joy. You have a whole new perspective on life, even on your deathbed. They would tell you the facts. Jesus is alive, and he can impact your life too. Don't be foolish or slow to believe. Jesus wants more for you today. In fact, he wants you to live forever with him, which means you're going to have to overcome death. And I ask you this morning, how are you going to do that? How are you going to be saved from death and the grave? The Apostle Paul wrote in Acts chapter 4, there's salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven. No other name under heaven. No other way under heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There are not many roads to eternal life. There is one way. There is one name given to men by which we must be saved. And that name is Jesus Christ. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
We celebrate Easter because we believe that Jesus overcame the grave, was resurrected, and promises the same thing for all who believe in him and follow him. If he promised he would rise in 3 days, and he did it. If he promised you and I that he was coming back to get us if we believe, I believe he's going to do it. Because there were people who saw that he fulfilled his promise. And I can't wait for that day to see when he fulfills that promise to me. Jesus is alive. He can change your life. No other person can claim this. No other religion can claim this. All we have to do is believe this, and he will change our lives too. Let's pray.